How's it going, everybody? I recently saw Marvel's Shang-Chi. I heard it. That's the way it was pronounced by actual Chinese people. So that's the way I am trying to pronounce it. You know, like the guy that doesn't go into Taco Bell and orders the what's the joke in there? Quesadillas. But I'm also trying not to be the guy that goes into an actual Mexican restaurant and be like who always says Mexico and always extra rolls his R's and puts a little extra accent on everything. Like, I don't want to be that guy. So, anyway, Shang-Chi is one of the better Marvel movies of recent. I will say that it has a more cohesive storyline than Black Widow did. However, Black Widow, like, failed in the sense that, anyway, I'll get to that in the episode. Enjoy the ad. Okay, so, is it better than Black Widow? They're different movies. However, I'm gonna say this. They have very similar, components in that, you have the, hero that's, laying low or who has run away from his responsibilities or her responsibilities, but Black Widow is a little bit different case. Like, she's a wanted criminal, and I think where Shang-Chi does it really better in that respect is that Natasha Romanoff gets back into superheroing because the package that her sister sends her to her Morocco gets brought to her in whatever, so her place in Sweden or Iceland or wherever the hell that is. Black Widow's in between jobs in that one, so it's like it's a different set of story. Whereas Shang-Chi, which, by the way, I'm doing all spoilers throughout this. This is an honest discussion and a reaction. So if you don't want to hear anything, 3, 2, last chance for spoilers. 1, Shang-Chi, at 14 years old, is tasked with killing a man. And after he does that, he runs away from home. He never returns. He kills the man, and then he's like, nah, I can't do this. So he takes on a normal life, and for 10 years, he just, like, runs away from adulthood. You see him getting ready for work. He's putting on a shirt and tie. But then you realize, oh, he's not driving that fancy BMW. He's the valet guy for the fancy BMW. So, like, it's not explored other than, like the one, Katie, played by Awkwafina, who, by the way, it is a hard balance to strike between plucky sidekick and, annoying sidekick. This one, she's more on the plucky side. A lot of people give Awkwafina shit for, I don't know, being hip-hop or, because, she's been accused of cultural appropriation, which I kind of think is, it's like, I don't know how you do that. Other than to say, this is mine. I invented this, but, I think that's Twitter being Twitter. So, anyway, back to So he's like, my name is Sean. Like, that's my American name right now, and that's what I'm sticking with. Now, when he, apparently, Katie was friends with him, by, like, pulling him out of a fight, which, by the way, if he would have gotten his ass kicked just to, keep his cover, because he did it for 10 years, alright, let me get into the opening of the movie. I missed the first 2 minutes because I went back to the concession stand, which, by the way, I saw this in a theater, and see this in the theater. This is one of those movies where it is meant to be seen on a big screen. I'm nothing against indie movies, but there's very few indie action movies, and there's very few indie fighting movies. I think maybe Green Street Hooligans was the last one that I could think of, where it was just like a small budget, borderline indie. That's why I'm saying, like, I really wish studios, instead of having, like, these massive naval air carrier ships or whatever, jet carrier ships, instead of those, get these smaller boats. Like, I've always referred to it as the AK-47 mentality, where it's just, like, cheap, always works, and then when one of them outperforms, it pays for all the others. Things that could pay for themselves. So, this one, it's almost like an Aquaman vibe to it, though, because Aquaman had, like, 3 or 4 movies in it at all times. So, this one, you have these two slackers, and, that are running from adulthood, because apparently, the Awkwafina's character, Katie, does all the hard stuff, but then she's like, nah, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. I don't think I want to do this. And then, some auntie and uncle takes her aside back in China, and is like, do this. If you aim at nothing, you will be nothing. Sort of deal. So Awkwafina becomes, I don't want to say the person that saves the day, but, you'll see. So, the acting in this movie is pretty decent because I think the script actually gives people things to do. A lot of times when you're watching a movie like this, it becomes a roller coaster. Like, yeah, there's going to be highs and lows, but you know that at the end of this, you're going to be at back where you started. Now, this one doesn't, do too much to be different than that. However, it does enough. People that you think are going to die don't. The appearances of certain things, very surprising. I'm not going to ruin certain things, but the how do I say this? Pretty sure I'm mispronouncing that because I've never heard it said correctly, or at least I don't know if I have. 80s Hong Kong action star, or 80s and 90s, I should say, because I think he's been in the business for a long time. One of the best villains in all of Marvel movies, as good as Thanos, as good as Loki, as good as, his presence is like both like, oh shit, there's my dad. Like you remember when you're a kid, when you're just like, ah shit, my dad's mad at me. Like I'm pretty sure he's gonna kill me. Like that feeling. They achieve that in this movie, but he's also, when you meet him multiple times throughout the movie, so damn nice. So the movie opens up with I want to say his name is Hugh Wynn or something. But the leader of the Ten Rings. Let's start with that, because leader of the Ten Rings. Because I don't want to call him Shang-Chi's dad. Leader of the Ten Rings. Which, by the way, first Iron Man movie, this was a thing. So I'm very curious to see if Ten Rings was... because, like, Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 2 had mentions of it. However, Iron Man 3 comes out and be like, the Ten Rings is an advanced ideas making aim front. But turns out, no, there actually was a Chinese organization that, like, there are ten rings of power. So, and that is addressed. And one of the greatest, it's like, you gotta be fucking kidding me speeches. It's like, so I lived my life for 1,000 years. I've conquered the world. I'm off in the shadows. And then someone appropriates my name and place, but then doesn't refer to me by name. They put a British actor in charge, and then they call him an orange. Like, so everyone is just so bigoted that they just accept that there is someone out there calling himself an orange, about to destroy the world. That was one of the greatest speeches. And when in one of the flashback scenes, they have Tony Leung show up, which, by the way, the costuming in this movie was smart. Because when you first meet him, he's wearing white. When you first, when you see him with his family, he's not, like he is a man who is happy with his wife and his kids. And the little things, like the quick asides, there's the easy ones where it's like, oh, he's holding his son. Oh, his son is with the mom, like hearing his sister while she's, still in the belly. Those are the easy ones. Like the sitting down as a family and watching TV. The two sets of Dance Dance Revolution games going on, where it's like mom and daughter versus son and father. Like the teams. Like that. Which, by the way, Tony Leung, like, when he hears, like, the voice of his wife calling to him, it's like the desperation on his face. That was cool. He gave an incredible performance. And also, this movie had to, like, work on two different levels, because I'm going to have a discussion about, like, this versus Iron Fist. You can tell that this movie was so what Iron Fist wanted to be on Netflix. However, I still maintain that Iron Fist got rushed. I don't know, like, they didn't have their concepts down perfectly. They had really good actors in charge. Then they had, issues. The budget on that one, the fact that there was no dragon in Iron Fist and this movie, oh, you bet. There is an equivalent scene that, like, it's what's great about this one is, and back to like Scarlett Johansson and Black Widow for a second. That movie, Taskmaster, was the villain that ends up being the Darth Vader. This one, Tony Leung, is a much better Darth Vader. And then there's like a real big bad, which is the Emperor, in both of these movies. So like I said, like there's a similarity between Black Widow and Shang-Chi, and all in all, like it had to work as a kung fu movie and it had to work as a superhero movie. And I'm glad to say the action scenes as a kung fu movie are great. There's three obvious ones that stick out. There is the bus fight scene, the building fight, and the versus his dad, because you know that was coming. So the set pieces of that are really good. So it just gets like more and more fantastic as it goes forward, and I don't want to discuss it further, like, other than to say, like, I'm going to shout out some of the actors that I was pleasantly surprised to see in this do well. Ronnie Chang is a comedian, and he's worked with Awkwafina on a couple movies. Like, I don't know if they've worked together on Crazy Rich Asians, but Ronnie Chang plays the right-hand man to a character that has a underground fight ring inside a building in Macau. Not sure the exact pronunciation. I don't trust any white people pronunciations anymore, because the media, like, either says it close enough and no one ever corrects anybody, or having an English speaker say someone's name just never or something's name just doesn't work. Like, you lose things. Anyway, so Ronnie Chang plays to that character what Awkwafina is to Chang's character. Now, fast talking, has a presence, if. Just the ability to, like, do little things, just to, like, let you know he's there. I'm not saying that's acting. However, that's very much acting. Be the presence on screen so that you take up space. And he does that really well. And plus, I want to know if, like, he's got a haircut in this movie. I want to know if he actually got the haircut. Because that was a great bald cap with stuff built over it, or he had hair pieces put in and like actually got his hair buzzed a certain way, which, by the way, I want to see those behind the scene photos where yeah, I think it would be just easier to just get, take this time and get the lines buzzed into my head and, do the rest with dye or something. The other guy I'm going to shout out right now, but there's, a couple others. When you see the dude in the back wearing a trench coat and he gets undressed, he takes off his coat. Like, the henchmen show up first in the bus fight. And this is in the trailer, but Razor Fist is played by the same man who was Ivan Drago's son in Creed 2. He has one of those, like, Eastern European names that's like, I want to say Montiel. Guy used to be a boxer. Then he, like, took up acting, and he knocked the fuck out of Michael B. Jordan for a take. So this movie, he doesn't have to do a lot of acting. However, like I said with Ronnie Chang, stage presence. And the fact that, like, he's not a one-hit knockout henchman, and, like he's athletic enough that you believe the fight. Because, like, that, like, there are some movies back in the day where it's like if a guy's like 90 pounds but like in 5'5", and like the style doesn't necessarily match up the physics, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, man, this guy's doing like straight punches and all that, and like he's doing damage. It's like, yeah, but he's, I don't think that would work. Like, I mean, like when Joe Pesci knocked a guy out in Casino, you really believed it. Because, like, Joe Pesci would just, like, put his whole body into it. Like, meanwhile, like, some of the guys I'm mentioning right now, it's like, he was always the guy that got beat up when, like, the real motherfucker showed up, and then the hero had to come save the day. But I'm going to shout out, I want to say Benedict Wong is the actor's name. Was it Benedict Wong or was it just Wong? All right. Is Benedict Wong playing a guy named Wong? Anyway, so the great thing about Wong in the Marvel Universe is that he's not just Stephen Strange's sidekick. Like he's Watson, a very capable Watson to Strange's Holmes. Which, by the way, like, the fact that Benedict Cumberbatch has played Sherlock Holmes, and he's played, you notice, like, the little things of range that people have when you see him in multiple things. But anyway, Wong, like, he has several scene-stealing moments in this movie. That just ought, like, this movie is fun. Like, there was a, like, it didn't have certain like dourness that, like, and there is a little bit of like Marvel formulaic syndrome in here, but because Marvel makes so many movies that they kind of have to pre-plan their action scenes, like, years in advance before the script is ready. Because it takes years to do CG. And, like, it just goes without saying, like to do the CG in the same year that you start production, like, that, like, movies would take 2 or 3 years after in post. So just lost a lot of steam right there. Anyway, this movie's fun. Go see it. There's a lot of great fights. There's a lot of there's a superhero movie element to it, but it's not like Captain America just like jumping out of a window, landing on his shield, and then getting up and keeping moving. It's the bus fight scene where it's like, you believe that a guy, can hold on to a moving vehicle, that he can move out, that he can, fight people, because I want to say the majority of the stuff that, he did, like, that was him on camera. So that's why you believe it. All right, on that note, and peace.